But do you know that no matter what you have done, God has not turned his back on you?
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of this evening's message, Pastor Brian Grant established from the Word of God how this babe, born in Bethlehem's manger, was no less than the pre-incarnate, eternal Son of God in human form. Thus, while remaining fully sinless God, he was able to identify with our humanity and bear our sin penalty on the cross. This evening, we will pick up as Pastor Grant continues his 3 points that prove that Jesus Christ is the greatest figure in human history. Here is Pastor Grant with the conclusion of Jesus Christ, the greatest life changer in history.
In John 1, wherever it says the word, with word capitalized, it's not talking about words on a page. It's talking about somebody who John calls the Word, who is God. But down in verse number 14, it tells us more about this Word. Verse 14 says, and the Word what? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This verse tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and that's why today we can celebrate, because the Word became flesh. Amen? The Word who is God, the Word who was God, he became flesh and he arrived on earth as a baby in a manger. Oh, we're going to see that in a moment. But then we need to go on. Because you might say, so who is this person? Okay, I'm not going to take your word for it that it's Jesus. So prove that to me from the Bible. That's a good thing. Be careful how we take people's opinion. Let them back it up with what God says. Even the preacher. Oh, if Pastor Brian can't back up whatever he's saying from the Word, you better not go with it, because that might just be my opinion. And too many people are listening to preachers and other so-called holy men tell you their opinion. You want to see it for yourself in this book. Am I right about that? So let's pick up at verse 15, and we're going to read to verse 18. The Gospel of John is written by the Apostle John, and the Apostle John is now telling you what John, as John, he doesn't say he is talking about John the Baptist. The Apostle John says, John the Baptist, and you'll see that as we continue, bore witness of him and cried out, saying, John the Baptist said, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the Buddha's bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And in chapter 1, the Baptist is going to make it very clear who this Word is. But don't miss this. As John the Baptist bore witness, he used a phrase in verse 15 that's so important, I want you to add it to your notes. In verse number 15, he said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Did you get that? John the Baptist says, he who comes after me is preferred before me. So he's saying, as though the person that he's going to point out is somebody who actually is younger than him. person, the Word, actually arrived after me, but he is preferred before me, for he was before me. He said, Pastor Brian, make that clear. You see, he's making it clear that although the Word arrived in human flesh after him, the Word was before him because the Word always was. John 1 tells us in the beginning, what was the Word? The Word always was. I mean, you with me? Jesus, listen. The Son of God always existed. What happened when the Lord Jesus was born was his incarnation, when the Word took flesh. Hallelujah. So he who comes after me, John the Baptist was speaking about Jesus. He said, Pastor, that's your opinion. Point that out to me from Scripture. I hope you want to hold on to some of these verses because we had better start knowing how to show that Jesus is God. Because sadly, too many Christians have no idea how to establish that, and people are eating us for lunch. The Muslims have them all wrapped up. Oh, I believe Jesus is God because the pastor said so. There's no reason to refer to me. The person I need to refer to is God and the Holy Book. Amen? So just remember that. And if after we're finished, you're still not clear, let's have a discussion. Amen? Let's have a discussion. He who comes after me. So look at verse 29. Remember now, you have just written in your notes a very important note. You wrote down, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Did you write that down? So look at what happens now in verse 29 of John chapter 1. The next day, John saw Jesus. John the Baptist sees Jesus coming. And he says what? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then he adds something. John the Baptist says, this is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. Are you getting it? John the Baptist has already told you who Jesus is, and now he says, as he sees Jesus coming, he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he says, this is the one I was talking about. This is the one I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. Amen. Although, write this down, although John the Baptist was humanly older than Jesus, he knew he was face to face with the eternal Word, the one who was preferred before him, for he is the eternal God who made all things. Since the phrase, the Word, refers to Jesus, the second person in the Trinity, let me put verses 1 to 3 on the screen. Inserting the name Jesus wherever it states the Word. Wouldn't that be a nice thing? Since we now know the Word is Jesus, let's read John 1:1-3, using the name Jesus. And it is my hope that as we read this and it saturates, we will lose all these questions as to who it was the Word talking about. In the beginning, let's read it together. Can we read it together? In the beginning was, and Jesus was with God. Why? For Jesus was God. Jesus was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Jesus. And without Jesus, nothing was made that was made. In Jesus was life. And the life was the light of men. And today as we celebrate Christmas, we thank God that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and that the Lamb of God has in fact come to take away the sins of the world. Amen. First, his divine preexistence. But second, his glorious incarnation. Christmas is a very special time of the year For it's the season to celebrate the birth of Jesus, the only person in history who was incarnated. Amen. As John 1:14 tells us, the Word became flesh. That's talking about the incarnation. Jesus became flesh. Amen. That's why we're here celebrating Christmas, the time when the Word, the one was with God. In the beginning was the Word, the one that was with God from the beginning, when He took on flesh. The Word became flesh. Today we celebrate His incarnation. Write this. The incarnation of Christ means that God, who is Spirit, took on humanity in the sinless body of Christ. God, who is Spirit, took on flesh, took on humanity in the sinless body of Christ. When Jesus arrived in Bethlehem that first Christmas, He came with a very focused mission. He came to save sinners from their sin. And no matter how badly tangled up in sin a person may be, Jesus is able to deliver them. Oh, perhaps you're here this morning or you're watching the live stream. Listen, it doesn't matter whether you're here or you're watching. I just want you to know that Jesus is able to save sinners. The Apostle Paul used to kill Christians. What he wanted to say, that Jesus came to save sinners of whom He was chief. Listen, whether you're a chief sinner or not, we were all born sinners. Am I right about that? We were all born sinners, and thank God, there is no sinner. This little song says, there has never been a sinner so far from God, but Jesus can bring them home. And my friend, I trust that this morning, if you're not sure where you stand with God, that you would settle the issue and come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Some people have a hard time believing that the Creator would take on humanity. Some people have a hard time with that. You realize that's one of the big sticking points. Why would God? In fact, you hear people argue that all the time. Haven't you heard it argued? Why would the infinite God become a human? Do you know that 700 years before Jesus was born? You see, the incarnation of Christ, what happened in the Gospels, is not anything that took God by surprise. It was well planned, and really, the reason why these wise men were able to come from far and find the baby Jesus is because they were studying the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament had actually told us it's just a matter you had to do some diligent searching. So write this down. Let's put this on the screen. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. Let me put it on the screen. Way back then, over 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah had prophesied, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel." Amen. God will give us a sign. A virgin. Who? Anybody ever comes to you and said, "I'm a virgin, but she's pregnant"? You have to figure out how that happened. Was it artificial insemination? Of course, now you can do all those stuff. But you got to be very careful now. There was a virgin birth. But can I tell you there's not going to be another one? Amen. Am I right about that? When Jesus arrived in Bethlehem, that first Christmas, He came with a very focused mission. He came to save sinners. Amen. The name Emmanuel, let me pick up there. The name Emmanuel means God with us. The sinless Son of God came to earth on a mission to save us from sin and transform our lives. And I'm so glad as a little boy He saved my soul. Has He saved yours yet? But here's another question. God is not only interested in saving us. His desire is to transform us. You see, part of the problem with some of us is that we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. We want to get saved. Guess why we want to get saved? So that we don't go to hell. Is that true? People say, I don't want to go to hell, so I will get saved. I will invite Jesus to come into my heart. But listen, that's not all that God is interested in. The purpose why He saved us, He wants to transform us, because Jesus is the greatest life changer in history. He wants to change us. He wants to make something beautiful of our lives. But sadly, too many of us have stuck halfway. We have salvation and we're satisfied. We're saved, satisfied, and we are seated. But today God wants to lift us up, amen. He wants to get us up off of the pew and off of the benches and out of our rocking chairs, and with a desire that we want to walk with Jesus, that we want to please Him, amen. And so the big question is, number one, are you saved? But if you are saved, are you moving His way? Are you growing in Jesus? The little song we used to sing a lot here at GCA, it goes like this, little by little, every day what? Jesus is changing me. Is He changing you? Are your friends noticing that there is a change going on in your life? So the little song says, sometimes it's slow going. Oh, I tell you, there have been periods in my life where the going was very slow. There was very little change. It says, sometimes it's slow going, but sure knowing that someday perfect I will be. And oh, as we celebrate this Christmas season, my God work in our hearts. Only those of us who don't know Jesus, it is our prayer that you will come to know Emmanuel. But it is our prayer that those of us who are saved, that we will keep up our desire, young person, teenager, that you won't be a person who say, know that I'm saved, I'll do what I want to do. But that we will have a determination. The song says, I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. First, His divine pre-existence. Second, His glorious incarnation. And third, and finally, His vicarious atonement. Nice big word. His vicarious atonement. Vicarious is a big word that's often not used. So write this down. Vicarious means done in place of someone else. No one could kill Jesus, but Jesus gave His life on the cross. You can write this down. No one could kill Jesus, but Jesus gave His life on the cross for our sins. The sinless Son of God arrived in Bethlehem's manger, and as He grew up, He had you on His mind. Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, came to die for your sins and mine. Let me put one final verse of Scripture on the board. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. There is an inextricable link between Christmas and Good Friday. At Christmas, we celebrate Christmas, the day Jesus arrived as a baby. But He came to die. He came to suffer. He came to die for your sin and my sin. And my friend, no matter what you have done, and that's the great news, it doesn't matter what a person has done. Listen, your family may be disgusted with you. If your friends ever found out all the stuff you have done, they would be so angry. Some of them would never speak to you again. But do you know that no matter what you have done, God has not turned His back on you? You see, your friends might know what you've done, but Jesus knows everything you've done. And despite all the mess you have done, and despite all the mess I have done, Jesus is here and he's telling us, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you so much that listen, Jesus came and he died just for you. And right now his arms are open and he says, whosoever will let him come. Right now he's inviting you, young person, older person, you're not sure you're saved. And Jesus says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come to me. I will save you. I will cleanse you. And I pray that today that you will come. Forgiveness is available. And oh, I pray that you will come to him right now. I know very little about my grandfather. But the little I've heard made me view him in a very negative light. Because from what I gather, he was a wild man who loved womanizing. And he left behind several children who he did very little to help. You have ever met men like that? They're from bed to bed to bed, and they leave behind a trail of babies who they have never helped. And I'll be honest, I never met my granddad, but I never did have a positive image of him. But as I was preparing this message, I started wondering if anyone had ever told my granddad about the greatest life changer in history. I don't know if he had heard it, but I just wonder. You see, there are a lot of Christians, but sometimes we're not telling people about Jesus. And oh, today, good God, fire up our hearts, those of us who know Jesus, that we would be willing to spread this message. I wondered as I prepared, had anyone ever told my granddad that Jesus loves you, and no matter what you have done, he's willing to save you. I wonder if he knew that God loved him so much that despite his mess, he would save him. I wonder what would he have done. Would he have come to Jesus? I don't know. Because I don't know if he ever heard. But today you can't, so you haven't heard. And today, the Spirit of God speaks to your heart. And he's saying to you, no matter who you are or what you have done, he says, I have come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. And it is my prayer, listen, if you are here, that you have never opened your heart to him, that you will open your heart and say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, it is my prayer that you will make a decision. Listen, I'm going to stop the half-stepping and I'm going to be settled. I'm going to be solid. I'm going to be determined. I'm going to walk with Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And I'm going to ask you to make some decisions this morning. As we bring this service to a close, I'm going to ask those of you who are sure you're Christians, but you're not a committed Christian, to recommit your life to Jesus. And for those who are not sure they're saved, I want to pray for your salvation. And Father, I pray that in the quietness of this moment, that the Spirit of God may do his work in hearts and lives. For Christ's sake, we pray.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.